If you have a Bible, convenient, I'd like for you to open it to the book of 1 Timothy. I'm going to speak today from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Now, my subject is the gospel we preach. The gospel we preach. And Paul in 1 Timothy 1:15 said this, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation," or acceptation by all men, "that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief." Now, there's several things that bother me about today's religion and today's preaching. I ask this question. I ask myself this question. I ask you, are we actually preaching the gospel? Are we actually preaching the gospel? Or are we just talking about the gospel in general terms? I saw a television program a few days ago about a certain television preacher, and the news commentator asked this question, "Is he on television to raise more money, or does he raise more money to stay on television?" And what I'm asking today is this: are we really preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, or are we just talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ? I know this: giving our congregation lectures on good government is not preaching the gospel. And preaching on successful living is not preaching the gospel. That's not preaching the gospel of Christ. It may be profitable for some people. And setting forth laws of morality and good works, that's not preaching the gospel. Promoting denominations and building schools and healing the body, that's not preaching the gospel. I don't care how much of it you do, and I don't care how commendable it is. It's not preaching the gospel. Talking about myself and my program and my church and my school and my denomination is not preaching the gospel. Paul said one time, "We preach not ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus." That's what I'm asking. Are we preaching Christ, or are we preaching ourselves? Talking about heaven and hell, singing inspiring songs, getting all these choirs and special singers and orchestras and entertaining men and women and singing gospel songs and raising money to feed the poor is not preaching the gospel. Now, that's not preaching the gospel. And I'm asking this question as I listen to television preachers and preachers in the pulpit, and as I preach myself, and as I read sermons that men have preached, are we really preaching the gospel? The gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we guilty of declaring our determination to preach the gospel? For example, send me some money and keep this program on the air so we can preach the gospel all over the world. Are we really preaching the gospel? Are we fulfilling our intentions? Are we making good on our promises? Are we really preaching the gospel? Or have we allowed Satan to beguile us? That's what Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 11. He was fearful lest Satan should beguile us like he did our mother Eve and distract us and take us away from the simplicity of Christ. Has Satan turned us away from the simplicity, from the singleness of Christ, from the message of the gospel, from the testimony of the gospel to other things? Are we really preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, or are we preaching prophecy? Are we preaching His first coming, His crucifixion, His death, His burial, His resurrection, His work for sinners, or are we preaching about His second coming? His second coming will profit you nothing if you know nothing of His first coming. Are we preaching the gifts of the Spirit? Are we preaching the Holy Ghost? Are we promoting programs and people? Or are we really preaching the gospel? I ask this question. What is there in today's preaching? What is there in our sermons and in our messages and our Bible classes for sinners who need salvation? People who need God. People who need grace. People who need to know how God can be just and justifier. What is in our preaching for men and women unlearned in the Scriptures, uninformed in grace, untaught in the gospel of Christ? What is there in our preaching for the man who walks in off the street and sits down and who's a sinner and whose sins are heavy upon his heart, who's facing an angry God, who's facing judgment without hope, without help, without Christ, without hope, without mercy? What's in our message for that man or that woman? Paul said this, God didn't send me to baptize. He wasn't belittling baptism or taking away from baptism. He was simply declaring what God sent him to do, to preach the gospel. He said on one occasion, woe is unto me if I don't preach the gospel. Our Lord Jesus Christ gathered his apostles around him before he ascended to glory and gave them this commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I believe it's our responsibility to walk in holiness. It's our responsibility to feed the hungry. It's our responsibility to take care of the widows and orphans. It's our responsibility to keep our neighborhood a good place in which to live. But our chief responsibility is to fulfill the commission of our Master, and that is to preach the gospel. Not just to talk about preaching it, not just to express our determination to preach it, but actually to preach the gospel. My one great desire is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ for those who know it and for those who don't know it. Every time I stand before you to declare in no uncertain terms, ruin by the fall, redemption by the blood, and regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Let's look at our text again. Paul declared this. He said, this is a faithful saying, and this is a saying worthy of acceptation by all men, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came to save sinners. He didn't come to build a better society. He came to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Now, if you look back in our text, just a few verses, that's verse 15, 1 Timothy 1:15. But if you look back at verse 12, this is where this actually begins. Paul says in verse 12, God put me in the ministry. God put me in the ministry. I'm not the servant of a denomination. I'm not the servant of an organization. I'm not the servant of a people. I'm not even my own servant. I'm God's servant. I'm God's bondslave. And He put me in the ministry. It's not a job. It's not a vocation. It's a divine appointment. And I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ to declare His gospel. I am His messenger and His ambassador and His preacher because He, according to His own purpose and wisdom, put me in the ministry. I don't belong to a church. I don't belong to a people. I belong to God. That's the first thing he says. And then in verse 13, he tells what he was. He was a blasphemer. He was injurious. He said, I was an unbeliever, like everybody else. He said, it's not my goodness that put me in the ministry. It's not my merit. It's His grace that called me out of my blasphemy. It's His grace that lifted me from the dunghill and set me among His choice princes. It's His grace that revealed His Son in me. I was no good, a blasphemer. An angel couldn't preach the gospel. What does an angel know about the gospel? God uses sinners to preach the gospel. He uses men who have in their own hearts experienced that gospel. And that's what Paul is saying here. God put me in the ministry. And before He found me and called me and put me in the ministry, I was a blasphemer. I was injurious. I was a persecutor. I was an unbeliever, though religious. And then he said in verse 14, but His grace, His infinite abounding grace, His grace in Christ was abundantly sufficient for me, and it will be abundantly sufficient for you. And I'll tell you this, and I wish we could do away with this type of preaching like we're hearing today. Paul didn't holler and scream at people. Paul didn't get hold of his ear and holler and scream and gasp for breath and call it preaching. Paul didn't preach down to people in a holier-than-thou fashion, get angry with them. Paul declared this. He said, God called this old blasphemer, God called this old persecutor, this old unbeliever, this old religious Pharisee out of darkness and sin. And by His grace, He put me in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And by His grace, He manifested His love to me in Jesus Christ. And God's grace, which is abundantly sufficient for me, the chief of sinners, is abundantly sufficient for you. And then He declared His gospel message in clear, simple words. He clearly defined what He's talking about. He said, God put me in this ministry. God gave me this call. And I wasn't anything. I was a blasphemer and a persecutor, an injurious and an unbeliever. But God's grace was abundantly sufficient for me. And then He declared, and I tell you, this is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of acceptation by all men, that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Of whom I am the chief. That doesn't sound like present-day preaching, does it? Most present-day preachers brag about how much holier than they are than their congregations, and how much higher we've got the clergy and the laity, and how much better they are. We give them special holy names and special holy reverence. But Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. Now let's look at his gospel. What gospel did he preach? What gospel do we preach? Here he said this. He said, Jesus Christ came into this world. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Now you can remember this. I'll give it to you in four statements. First of all, this gospel we preach is the gospel of a person. It's not the gospel of a plan or a proposition or a program or a profession. It's the gospel of a person. He said, this is the faithful saying that's worthy of all acceptation, that somebody did something. And that somebody is Jesus Christ. And He's identified by His name. He's called Christ because He is the Messiah. Throughout the whole Old Testament, He's promised in picture, in prophecy, in type. He is the Christ. Jesus of Nazareth, who was born of Mary, is the fulfillment of all Old Testament prophecies concerning the Christ. And not only that, but He's prophesied by the Old Testament writers. Moses called Him that prophet. Also, He'd be a priest forever like Melchizedek, and He would be a king like His father David. And He's pictured in all Old Testament promises and pictures and ceremonies and sacrifices and sin offerings. He's the Christ. This gospel we preach is the gospel of a person who's identified as Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. And not only that, but He's Jesus. When the angel came to Joseph and told him that Mary would bring forth a child, he said, now that child, which is conceived in her, is conceived by the Holy Ghost. And thou shalt call His name Jesus. That's the Old Testament word Joshua. And it means God, my Savior. And that's His earthly name. This Christ, this Lord, who came in human flesh, is called Jesus. And Paul said, in the fullness of time, God sent His Son into the world, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were born under the law, and put those two names together, Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, and you have the God-man. The God-man. You see, Jesus Christ literally, actually, in reality, is God in human flesh. That's what the angel said to Joseph. His being born of Mary, a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, is the fulfillment of the prophecy Isaiah wrote, unto us a son is born, Unto us a child is born, a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. He's Son of God. He's Son of Man. He's made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God. So the gospel I'm preaching, my friend, is the gospel of a person. A person. Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus, Son of Man. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. Christ. God, their God of their God. The promised Messiah. The Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And this gospel is not only the gospel of a person, but it's the gospel of that person's divine visit to this earth. He came to this earth. Jesus Christ came into this world. That's what it said. Jesus Christ is God. The Father spoke about the Son and said, Thy throne, O God, is forever. Paul told the elders at Ephesus to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Then in John 10:30, he said, I and my Father are one. And he literally, actually, God came into this world. He clothed himself in human flesh. Our Lord in Hebrews 10 says, A body thou hast prepared me, a body in which God dwelt as he walked on this earth. Yes, Jesus Christ is God. He's the second Adam. He's the Lord from heaven. He's the man by whom men are redeemed. By man came death, by man came resurrection. That's right. In Adam we die, in Christ we're made alive. By the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners. By the obedience of another man, many were made righteous. But this other man is the Lord from heaven. This other man is the God-man. This other man is the perfect man, representation. As a man, he is our representative. As a man, he is our righteousness. As a man, he is our sin offering. So this gospel, and I'm trying to tell you what the gospel is. It's the gospel of a person. It's the gospel of that person's divine visitation. His coming to this earth. He actually came to this earth. And he literally actually died on a cross for our sins. And it's the gospel of effectual deliverance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. God is unchangeable, holy, just, and righteous. Men are sinners. In the flesh dwelleth no good thing. In order for that holy, righteous God to forgive and receive and commune and fellowship with guilty sinners, Almighty God's attributes must be honored and His attributes must reign. Jesus Christ didn't come into this world to change God, but to enable God to be just and justified. Christ Jesus didn't come into this world to change the law, to soften the law, to take the edge off of the law, but to obey it on behalf of those whom He represented. Jesus Christ didn't come into this world to soften justice or to take the edge off of justice, to alter justice or change justice. He came to honor justice and satisfy justice and fully paid the debt. He didn't come to help us save ourselves. He came literally, actually, to save us. And when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of God. This is the gospel. It's the gospel of a person. That person and his work. That person and his glory. That person and his visit to this earth. That person and his effectual work. His effectual obedience. His effectual death. His actual burial and resurrection, ascension, and his actual intercession at the right hand of God. And this gospel is a command. It's not optional whether or not you believe the gospel. God commands men to repent. God commands men to believe the gospel. It's not optional whether or not a man believes God, but it's a command. So what is this gospel we preach? The gospel of a person. It's the gospel of that person's divine visit to this earth. It's the gospel of that person's effectual work in redeeming a people for the glory of God and in keeping with the honor of God. And it's a command. All men are commanded to believe it. Now, for whom is this gospel designed? Well, it's for sinners. Christ Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners. He's the friend of sinners. He's the Savior of sinners. He came to save His people from their sins, not pretended sins, but from their sins, actual sins. And to offend in one point of the law is to be guilty of the whole law. But you say, preacher, all men are sinners. Of course they are. But how many realize it? How many will admit it? So many religious sinners today do not even own their condition, and they feel no need of mercy. They feel no need of grace. But our Lord's grace is for the guilty. Our Lord's mercy is for the miserable. Our Lord demonstrated that in His ministry here on the earth. For whom did He come? To whom did He speak? To whom did He preach? With whom did He eat? With whom did He fellowship? Whom did He call? Sinners. The woman at the well. Zacchaeus. Saul of Tarsus. The thief on the cross. The man in the tombs. The woman who was a harlot. Go all the way through God's Word. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. And Paul said, this is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into this world to save folks like you and me. Sinners, people who know they're sinners, sinners in heart and sinners in thought and sinners in imagination and sinners in attitude and sinners in spirit and sinners in pride and anger and lust and malice and bigotry and all these inward sins that eat at your soul all the time. And sinners indeed, sinners, Christ came to save. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. And He came to save me. Now, how do we preach this gospel? We preach it as a certainty. It's a faithful saying. What does that word faithful mean? It can be depended upon. A person who is faithful can be depended upon. Something that's faithful is certain. Something that's faithful is sure. And you can depend on this. This is the record. John said, this is the record. God hath given to us eternal life, and that life is in His Son. And he that hath the Son of God hath life, and nobody can take it away from him. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. All right, it's not only a certain saying, but it's an everyday message. It's a saying. This is a faithful saying. It's not just for the temple. Somebody said, leave your religion in your church. Well, your religion belongs there, but the gospel belongs with the people. Leave your religion in the pulpit. Well, your religion belongs in the pulpit. I agree. Just keep your old religion in the pulpit. But the gospel belongs with the people. The gospel belongs on the street. The gospel belongs in the home. The gospel belongs where sinners are. This is a faithful saying. It's a saying. It's not just for special days. It's a saying. It's not just for special season. It's a saying. It's an everyday saying. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, and believe in thine heart, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And it's worthy, it's a common application, it's worthy of acceptance by everybody, Jew or Gentile, Protestant or Catholic, male or female, old or young, rich or poor, learned or ignorant. It's worthy of your acceptation, of your belief. It's worthy to be believed. This is our gospel. Let's preach it. Let's quit debating and arguing and building and all these things going to pass away. The passion of this world passes away. You can write my name on a half a dozen walls if you want to and dedicate all these buildings to my honor and this sort of thing. But God's going to burn it all. Here's the faithful saying. Here's what's worthy of acceptation, that somebody came into this world and His name was Jesus Christ, and God sent Him because He is the God-man. And He came down here on a mission to perform a task, and He said He did it. And that task is to save people from their sins. Christ Jesus died, came into this world and lived a perfect life and died and honored God's law and justice. And He did it to save people from their sins. From their sin. Completely from their sins. Totally and absolutely. Now, several weeks ago, I told you about some Bible class commentaries that I had written and prepared for our people at 13th Street Baptist Church. I've written all of the 21 epistles in the New Testament, verse by verse. And these little booklets are written in plain, simple, everyday language. I know many of you have commentaries in your homes, and you say, well, they're just hard to read. They're hard to understand. They don't get down to the point. But these books that you see on the screen now, I've written these, and we've used them in our Sunday school classes for 7 or 8 years, and they're being printed by a company in England, Evangelical Press. And I'm getting them wholesale, and that's the way I'm letting you have them. Now, they're on the here they are. Here's the little booklet, about 120 pages in each one. And it follows from Romans clear to Jude. I don't have all of them yet. I have four of the booklets. I have Galatians, and I have 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy. I have Romans, and I have Hebrews, from which I'll be preaching next week. Now, what these books are, they're verse-by-verse study of these books of the Bible. If you want all four of these little booklets, you can have them for $6. You say, well, I've already gotten three of them. I don't have Hebrews. Well, send $1.50 and we'll send you Hebrews. That's what they cost each, $1.50 each. And you can have them all for $6. I'll be glad to send them to you if you'll write to them. Now, this message I preach today on the gospel we preach, it's on a cassette tape, along with a message that I'll bring next week on Hebrews 10. Now, if you want these little booklets, and believe me, they're very helpful. They're in everyday language. You can understand and I can understand. They get the clear point from any verse in these books. And we'll send them to you for $6. If you'll write this week, we'll mail them in by return mail. Join us next Sunday. Until then, Henry Mahan bidding you a very pleasant good day.